Chapter 10.
I carefully placed my dagger in front of me, and when I sensed the person nearing me, I quickly turned around and thrust it outward.
Wrath!
Asta screamed, and at the last second I shifted my weight and sent my blade toward the side of her, instead of straight through her. Asta! I yelled as I dropped the dagger and grabbed the elf girl by the shoulders. Ah, I told you not to sneak up on me. I could have heard you. Are you all right?
I'm sorry.
She breathed, and she licked her lips and looked at me with sad yellow eyes.
I didn't mean to startle you. I should have announced myself. I just wanted to come see you. I couldn't sleep.
Oh, it's okay. I sighed and pulled her into my arms. I'm not worried about myself here. I was just worried I was going to accidentally hurt you.
I promise no more sneaking.
She told me with a small nod. Good. I smiled and kissed her forehead.
May I sit with you?
She bit her lip and looked at me with glistening yellow eyes. Well, of course, I told her, and I removed her sandals for her, grabbed her waist and lowered her into the water. She sat on the bank next to me and soaked her feet in the cool, crisp stream.
Oh, it feels so nice.
She giggled as she looked down at the water.
Very refreshing.
I'm glad you like it. Are you all right? Why couldn't you sleep?
I was just thinking about the little dragons we saw today.
Well, we got them home. They're okay now.
I know.
She smiled softly.
I'm glad they're home, but usually we're there to see it. I was just kind of sad we missed it. And I like to make sure the babies find their parents.
Yeah, I understand. And we'll make a trip to Dragon Valley soon, so we can check on all of them. But I know the dragons will take care of each other.
You're right.
Asta nodded.
They always do. I used to watch them when I was on my own, and they always had such a sense of family. I envied them for it.
Well, you don't have to envy them anymore, because now you have your own family. Us. I half smiled at the elf girl and pulled her to me so I could kiss her forehead. Sometimes I forgot she'd lost both of her parents and been on her own. She was so bubbly and sweet it was hard to think she'd gone through any sort of tragedy in her lifetime. But somehow, knowing about the loss of her parents made me feel closer to her, though despite my own words I envied her like she envied the dragons. She had a family she'd known and loved, at least for a while. I'd never had that. So I wasn't even sure what it would feel like. I had the girls and the dragons now, but that wasn't the same as having parents. I could never know exactly how it felt. But I knew it had to be a different love than what I felt for my little family now.
Wrath.
Asta whispered, and she turned to look at me through heavy white lashes. Yes? I murmured as I took in how incredibly beautiful she looked right then. Her long white hair hung around her face and shoulders and down to her full hips, and it was lit up with the impending twilight. Her fair skin seemed to glow from the inside out, and her full lips were parted just slightly as she looked at me.
Kiss me.
She whispered, and her eyelids grew heavy as she leaned in. My heart beat loudly as I leaned forward and placed my mouth on hers. The elf girl's plump lips were pillow soft, and she let out a soft sigh against me. As I kissed her, I reached around to run my fingers through the length of her long white hair. It was soft and silky, and I gently twirled it around my fingers. Asta's hands found their way to my shoulders, and then down to my biceps, and she squeezed my arms and moaned into my mouth when I flexed. I could feel her desire as if it were my own, and the intensity of it made my cock hard. The stream made a soft rumbling sound that drowned out the rest of the world, and I was going to hang on to that as long as I could. I kissed my way down her jawline to her neck, and then I licked and sucked on the warm, floral-smelling flesh between her shoulder and collarbone.
Oh, yes. Oh, it feels so good.
Do you like that? I whispered against her skin before I nibbled on her with my teeth, and her whole body tensed until I let go.
Oh, fuck.
She breathed, and I pulled back to look in her eyes. You are so beautiful, I told her as I took in the sight of her. Her long white hair hung down to her back, and she bit her lip as her vibrant yellow eyes met mine.
I want you,
she said, and she looked down and then back up at me through her lashes.
Please.
You have me, I whispered as I cupped a cheek. Always. Asta ran her hands up to my neck and then pulled my mouth down to hers. Her lips parted for me and my tongue slipped inside to dance with hers. Then I pulled away and trailed my lips across her jaw and down the slope of her soft neck. She moaned and closed her eyes as I kissed down her body. I grabbed hold of the black tunic she wore and pulled it over her head to reveal her naked body, and then I leaned back to take in the sight of her. Her body was illuminated with the glow of the fading sun, and her pale skin glistened in the twilight. God, you're so sexy, I growled as I ran my hands along her perfect curves, and I carefully lowered her down on her back. I rubbed my mouth against her breasts as she arched against me, and then I licked her taut pink nipple and felt her body twitch beneath me.
Oh, Rath, I want you so bad.
I let her wriggle under me as I teased her with my mouth, and when she started to whine, I pulled her nipple between my teeth and gave it a light bite. Asta's breath caught, and she dug her nails into my shoulders until my cock twitched in response.
Oh, Rath!
The white-haired elf girl groaned, and she writhed beneath me impatiently.
Please, I want you inside me. I need it.
I continued toying with her nipple as I pressed my thigh up between her legs, but I couldn't take it any longer. I could feel her heat against me, so I reached down and slid my hand along her flat, smooth stomach down to her sweet spot. Her pussy was dripping wet, and I groaned when my fingers touched it. I slid one inside her easily, then another, and I pushed them hard into her as her hot pussy spasmed on my fingers. Oh, fuck, Asta, I said through gritted teeth. Oh, you're so wet.
It's all for you, Rath.
She begged as she dug her nails even deeper into my shoulders.
Please.
Asta's voice trailed off as I continued to kiss my way down her body. Her stomach tensed under my caresses, but her pussy was so wet, I had to taste her. Patience, I growled before I nipped at the supple skin of her inner thigh. Asta moaned and arched her back as I kissed my way down to her pussy lips. I slid my tongue between them and down to her sweet entrance so I could thrust my tongue inside of her. Oh, the elf woman tasted sweet like honey, and I let out a low moan as I buried my face deeper against her and lapped up every last drop of her wetness.
Yes!
Asta screamed, and she gripped my hair and held my face against her as she arched her back with pleasure. I licked her up and down, and I felt my erection throb against the ground each time she moaned.
Rath!
She panted, and her body tensed.
Don't stop! I'm going to...
I could feel her pleasure as my own, but I kept going until her orgasm overtook her, and I tasted her sweet cum on my tongue. Her juices continued to stream out until my chin was coated in her slick release, and I shoved my tongue deep inside her to feel her spasm around me.
Rath!
She groaned as she finally went limp, and then she gripped my shoulders and pulled me up to her.
Oh, I need you inside of me, now.
Sorry, it just tasted so good, I whispered as I leaned up and looked at Asta's beautiful naked body. I grabbed the white-haired elf girl by her hips and flipped her around so her ass was up in the air. Then I freed my erection and slowly pushed the length of my cock into her. She was so wet from her orgasm, I encountered no resistance before I bottomed out inside her.
Oh, fuck!
She moaned, and she looked back at me with her mouth parted in pleasure.
You feel so good.
Oh, fuck, you're so tight. I gritted my teeth and pushed deeper into her still.
I love how you feel inside me.
She panted, and she arched her back in the sexiest way.
It feels like you're splitting me in two, but I just want more.
Oh, and then I'll give you more. I growled as I ground my pelvis against her swollen clit. Her mounting pressure was overtaking me, so I grabbed her by the hips and thrust into her as hard as I could.
Yes!
She moaned as she spread her legs wider for me.
Oh, just like that, harder. Please, Rath.
I held on tightly to her hips as I thrust, harder and harder each time, and the sound of our bodies slapping together echoed above the roaring blood in my ears. I switched up between fast and deep strokes, and Asta raked her nails down my back as her breasts bounced from the force of my thrusts. Oh, fuck, Asta! I growled as I hitched one of her legs up higher on my waist, and my cock slipped another inch deeper into her. Oh, you're taking me so well. The elf girl whimpered, and she shifted her other leg higher up my body as well. Are you getting close? I grunted before I delved a hand between us and settled my thumb on her clit. Oh, are you going to come for me? Come on, my cock.
Yes.
Asta gasped out as her yellow eyes went wide. But then I hit a particularly sensitive spot inside of her pussy, and she wailed as she clenched her eyes shut. Oh, that's it, I growled as our combined pleasures rose inside me like a volcano about to erupt. I quickened the pace of my thrusts, and I painted sloppy circles around her clit with my thumb until I felt her body tensing around me once more.
Don't stop!
She moaned loudly, so I continued to push in and out as deep as I could until I bottomed out against her womb. I thrust over and over, and her wetness dripped down to coat my thighs. She let out one final squeal of pleasure before her orgasm overtook her, and her sweet pussy gripped my cock and spasmed hard. The feel of her pleasure overwhelmed me, and I thrust into her one more time as her velvet walls gripped me like a vice. My vision went black, and my cock tensed as I allowed myself to orgasm along with Asta. I held onto her hips hard as her pussy spasmed around me and milked out every last drop of seed I had to offer, and then we both collapsed onto the grass and tried to catch our breaths. I glanced over to see a satisfied smile plastered across the elf girl's face, and her slender fingers trailed down her toned stomach to play with my creamy seed dribbling down her thighs.
That was nice.
Asta murmured after a moment, and she rolled over and snuggled against me. I smiled and kissed the top of her head, and then I let her feeling of satisfaction and security wash over me. Our soul bond made it possible for me to feel how she did, and happiness overtook me as I felt how safe I made her feel. I knew safety wasn't a feeling she always had, but it was one I wanted to make sure she always experienced with me. After we finished, Asta helped me catch some fish for dinner, and then the elf girl and I made our way back to the courtyard and found Kaas and Ira awake. They quickly made us some dinner, and we discussed our plan for the Elf King's castle while we ate.
Well, I was thinking, I said after I took a bite. I don't think we should split up at this time. The last time we split up, it was too difficult to find each other in time. I don't want to do that again.
I think that's a good idea.
Ira nodded.
We can be just as efficient working together.
Right. We'll be able to cover the same area, and we won't have to worry about finding each other afterward.
Do you think you can get us directly into the courtyard?
Kaas asked Blah, and the little dragon looked up from his meal and nodded.
Good. I wasn't sure I'd be able to perform Prana's walking through Vol's spell. It's very complicated, and I still haven't mastered it yet. I wouldn't want us to rely on that in order to get in.
I understand. I think that will work out fine. If Blah can get us directly into the courtyard, we shouldn't have an issue getting into the castle from there, since we've been in there before.
Where should we check first?
Ira asked, and she shoved a spoonful of fish in her mouth.
I would think the king would have that sort of documentation in his study.
I would think so, too. We'll check there first.
All right.
Ira nodded.
And how long will the invisibility spell last this time? Without Prana and my father...
Kaas thought for a second and then frowned.
Only an hour.
An hour is great. That's plenty of time to look around.
I wouldn't want to be there much longer than that anyway.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. We all quickly finished our meals, and then we got ready to go. I put on a fresh tunic and gathered up my weapons. I had a small dagger on my right side, my sword on my left, and another dagger hidden in my boot. I also braided my hair along the top of my head and tied it off with a small piece of leather to keep it out of my face, in case we needed to fight. We were going to be invisible, but there was no guarantee that would save us from some sort of brawl. It was impossible to say what might happen when sneaking into a king's palace, but I always wanted to make sure I was prepared for the worst. After we got ready, the girls met me at the cart, and each of them looked more beautiful than the last. Kaas wore her short white tunic that showed off her beautiful curves and long legs. Her wild curls were pulled back into a couple of braids that framed her face to keep her hair out of her eyes. but the rest hung wildly around her shoulders and down her back.
The Valkyrie's metal armor was also strapped on, along with some black sandals and her greatsword at her side. Of course, she also had her satchel on her hip like she always did. The sorceress never went anywhere without it, just in case she needed something for a spell. Asta once again wore the black tunic of mine she was wearing earlier, and her dark-colored clothing and metal armor was a stark contrast to her bright white hair and gleaming yellow eyes. Her long legs and small waist were on display, and on her hip was her magical sword. When she carried it, it was often in the form of a small sword because it was easy to attach to her belt, but it was able to change into a set of daggers, and an axe as well.
Ira looked absolutely stunning as well. The redhead had her long hair pulled back into a single thick braid, except for a few small strands that framed her face. She wore a short green tunic with silver armor over top, and her battle sword hung on her hip. She also had a dagger on her other hip, and something told me she might have another weapon hidden in her boot as well. The red-headed warband leader was full of surprises, and I doubted she ever went anywhere with less than 3 weapons. Once we were ready to go, Kaas picked up Ufe, Svas ran up to sit on Ira's shoulder, and Inger landed on Asta's shoulder as we prepared for the trip to Alfheim. We all gathered round, and Kaas took a few moments to perform her spell. My eyes followed along as her magical red sparkle swirled around us, and I knew we'd once again become invisible to the rest of the world. After the spell was done, Blar crawled up onto my shoulders and closed his eyes. A second later, a portal appeared in front of us, and the girls and I all linked hands and walked through. The little dragon managed to bring us out right in the middle of the Elf King's courtyard, which was great, since we didn't have Prana to get us through the large enchanted brick wall that surrounded the palace. We'd been here before, so we easily made our way through the courtyard, up the stairs, and around to the side of the castle. The castle had plenty of guards, so we waited until we found an unmanned door, and then we quickly and quietly made our way inside. We made sure to make as little noise as possible as we walked down the hallway toward the Elf King's study. There were no lights on or candles flickering in the large palace, and it was eerily quiet. I wasn't sure if the Elf King was here or not, but regardless, we were going to find out about his plans. Once we got to his study, we found the door slightly ajar. I carefully placed my hand on the cool wood and pushed it open further, so there was a large enough opening for us to squeeze through. Then, as soon as everyone made it through the doors, I carefully closed them behind us. Because it was so quiet, the girls and I didn't say anything as we looked through the large study. I made my way over to the bookshelf and started to take down books to see if there were any hidden messages inside of them. Kaas checked the desk, and Ira and Asta wandered around the room and looked under objects, behind pictures, and anywhere else they could think of. The little dragons sniffed about as well, though I wasn't sure how much help they were in this particular situation. After a few moments, I pursed my lips and furrowed my eyebrows together as I looked at the bookshelf. I'd gone through each book and found absolutely nothing, so I found Ira looking on a small table a few feet away.
"Have you found anything?"
"No."
Ira shook her head.
"There is nothing here except for the same things from last time."
"Is there anything new about the dragon training or the spell to hatch the eggs?"
"Not that I can see."
The redhead frowned.
"The last time we were in the Elf King's study, we found documentation that revealed he was trying to bring Vinrar back from Helheim. We also discovered he'd somehow found a way to magically hatch dragon eggs. If we couldn't find anything about the weapons he commissioned from the dwarves, then I hoped he would at least have something new about his plans to free Vinrar from Helheim. Unfortunately, that didn't seem to be the case, so I turned to Asta and Kaas and gestured for them to come over to Ira and me.
"Anything?"
I whispered to the two of them once they were close enough.
"I haven't found anything."
Asta shook her head.
"Neither have I. All of his documents about Vinrar and the dragons are in the same spots. If he had anything else of interest to us, it would probably be there."
"As I'm sure you're right."
"What should we do?"
Kaas asked with a frown. I pursed my lips for a moment as I thought about our options. I wasn't going to leave empty-handed. I knew there had to be some sort of documentation about the weapons he commissioned around here somewhere. And the next best place I could think of was the dungeon. "All right, let's go downstairs."
The dungeon?
Yes. I nodded, but I glanced at Asta to make sure she was all right. I knew the dungeon wasn't a place she wanted to be, since she spent a month down there when she'd been caught stealing to feed herself. The girl's yellow eyes caught mine, and she gave me a hard nod, so I figured she was all right. She was much stronger now than she'd been during that time, and I was sure she could handle going to the dungeon again. I quickly led the girls back down the hallway and through the rest of the palace. The dungeon was at the other end, so we carefully snuck through the hallways until we made it to the dungeon door. There were two guards in front of it. Usually I would just take those assholes out, but at the moment we couldn't give away our presence. We needed to be discreet about this, so we couldn't cause any sort of commotion. If the guards in charge of the dungeon were found dead, the Elf King would certainly get suspicious that someone was onto him. The dungeon was where he kept his dragons, and if he thought anybody else knew that, he might try and move them. Then we'd have to start all over again. The girls and I stood behind a tall pillar for a few minutes while I tried to figure out what our best course of action would be. We could have Blar create a portal to get us down to the dungeon, but I wasn't sure he would be able to make one so precise. He was constantly improving, but he wasn't an expert yet, and in this situation I wasn't sure we could take that risk. Even if Kaas was able to perform Prana's spell to walk us through the wall, we would have to be right next to the guards. Being in close proximity to the enemy meant there was a chance one of us would bump them, or breathe too loud, or anything that might alert them to the fact someone was there. And with the door closed, the entire process became much more complicated. We needed to get through as stealthily as possible, and I wasn't sure how possible that actually was at the moment. I pursed my lips and thought for a second. We could send Svaz, or Blar, or one of the other dragons down the hallway to make a noise and attract the guards, but doing so was potentially dangerous too. It might get us through the door, but it might also cause a swarm of guards to come running if they didn't know what was going on, and it could also put them on edge for the rest of the night. Luckily, I didn't think we'd be here too much longer, so I figured this was our best bet. Svaz, I whispered, and the little dragon crawled to the edge of Ira's shoulder to look at me. I want you to go down the hallway and knock something over.
I saw an open window further down that way.
Kaas whispered with a point.
There's a table over there. Knock something off it. Good idea.
Ira nodded.
Don't think it was the wind. Svaz doesn't have to go anywhere.
Asta said, and she cocked her head to the side.
I can do it.
Oh, even better. I grinned. Go ahead, Asta. Sometimes I forgot the elf girl had nature powers. We often relied on Kaas and Prana's sorcery, but Asta's talents had helped us out of plenty of tough situations, too. The white-haired elf girl turned toward the hallway we'd just come from and closed her eyes. Then she pulled her hands up to her chest and pushed them out quickly. As she thrust her hands forward, I watched the tapestries on the walls move. I couldn't see the table Kaas had talked about just a moment ago, but a second later, a large crashing sound nearly made me jump out of my skin. What was that? One of the guards asked. I don't know. The other shook his head. Asta pushed another gust of wind down the hallway, and yet another crash sounded. Shite. We'd better go check it out. Let's go. The second nodded. I quickly pushed the girls back against the wall as the guards hurried by. Once they were past us, I nodded to my women and led them over to the door. The handle was cool as I yanked it open and stepped to the side so the girls could go in first. And once they were all in, I stepped into the darkness too and shut the door behind me. Without my prompting, Svaz let out a small flame just large enough to light up the staircase, and she held it as we carefully made our way down the stone steps. Once we got to the landing, there were candles already lit, so she let her flame die out, and Ira scratched under her chin to thank her.
Something's off.
Kaas's violet eyes narrowed as she looked around.
What do you mean? I feel it too.
Asta pursed her lips.
There's something different.
It's the dragons, I said as I looked around.
Right.
Kaas nodded fervently, and her violet eyes darted all around the room.
Last time we were here, there were baby dragons in cages, but now I don't see any. Do you feel any dragons around, Rat?
Let me see. I closed my eyes and allowed myself to become a canvas for whatever dragons may be nearby. A small feeling came to me, and I recognized it as being from the larger dragon I'd seen before in the dungeon. He was still here, and I could feel his sense of depression and anxiety. I feel one, I frowned. The dragon in the cell.
Can we free him today?
Asta asked, and she looked at me with glistening yellow eyes filled with sadness.
I don't think it's a good idea to free anything today.
Ira shook her head before I could say anything.
If dragons start going missing from the castle, the Elf King will know someone broke in. That's true, but I hate leaving him again.
Me too, but we'll visit him before we leave.
Where do you think all the baby dragons went?
Kaas asked with a frown. I'm not sure, but if I had to guess, I'd say they're at one of the king's training camps.
Yes, I would think so.
Ira nodded.
We'll have to get them all out of there, too.
Kaas whispered as she looked up at the empty cages hung on the wall. We will, but right now we need to search this area for clues.
Right.
The girls and I set to work searching the small office in the dungeon for clues. We'd been down here before, so we knew this was the only area where anything was possibly kept. The rest of the dungeon was simply cells. This was the area the Elf King's assistant used to keep the small dragons and his notes and such. There was a large desk off to one side with books on it, and another workbench sat just below the cages that hung on the wall. Kaas and I started on the desk while Asta and Ira searched the rest of the area. I pulled open different drawers on the desk and rifled through the papers, but I didn't see anything that might help with our cause. It was all random notes about prisoners and their crimes, when they were to be released, etc. I hadn't checked the cells down the hall, but from the looks of those papers, it seemed the Elf King had a lot of prisoners, and most were in for fairly petty crimes, too.
Have you found anything?
Kaas asked, and she turned to look at me with worried violet eyes. Nothing so far. I shook my head. Just pages and pages of information about prisoners.
That's all I have over here, too.
She sighed and went to shut the drawer she had open, but something caught my eye, and I reached out and put my hand on hers. Wait.
What is it?
I'm not sure yet. My eyes narrowed as I leaned down and looked at the small piece of leather in the drawer. It was only about as wide as my finger and half as long. It was flush against the front of the drawer, so it couldn't be seen from overhead. One had to stand off to the side, or know precisely where it was in order to find it. I didn't know exactly what it was, and for all I knew it could be some sort of enchanted booby trap, but something about it told me that wasn't the case. I gripped the leather and pulled it. At first it didn't budge, but after a second pull, the bottom part of the drawer came with it.
Whoa!
Kaas breathed, and she looked at me with round eyes of shock.
How did you know that was there?
I didn't. I shrugged. I just saw the leather piece to pull it out.
What's going on?
Ira asked as she and Asta made their way over to us.
This drawer has a false bottom.
Kaas explained as she pulled the top part out and carefully set it on top of the desk.
Huh.
Ira half smiled.
Not fancy, but it works. What's down there? Let me see.
Kaas said, and she reached into the drawer and pulled out a small stack of papers.
That has to be what we're looking for.
Ira said, as she leaned down to try and get a good look.
It is.
Kaas confirmed with a nod, as her eyes darted back and forth over the paper.
What does it say?
The dragons joined us by the desk, too. Bla and Inga flew up to sit on the desk so they could listen, while Ufe and Svas sat at our feet and looked up at us curiously.
There's a couple of letters back and forth between the Elf King and that dwarf. That's great!
Asta clapped her hands and jumped up and down. Asta, shh!
Oh, yes, I apologize.
The elf girl brought her hands up to her mouth and shook her head.
I forgot.
It's all right. We just need to be quiet.
Will those communications be enough for us to make a map to the dwarf? They certainly should be. What about the rest of them? There's some other communications with the trainers about how the dragon training is going.
Kaas said as she rifled through the paper.
And there's...
Kaas's jaw dropped as she trailed off and just stared at the page in front of her.
What? What is it? This is a list of all the dragon traders who responded to the king's flyer.
The strawberry blonde whispered, and she spun the paper around so we could see.
We got it.
Ira grinned.
Now what do we do? Should we take the papers?
No. I shook my head. If we take them, they'll know someone was here. Cass, can you copy them magically?
Of course.
The sorceress nodded.
Give me just a moment.
Ira, Asta, and I stood guard, while Cass worked her magic on the papers. The dragons watched with us, too, and as the room grew silent, I noticed I could occasionally hear the prisoners down the hall. A few shouts came from the cells, along with some random shrieks of pain. However, the most unnerving was someone humming a very dark tune nearly constantly that made the hair on the back of my neck stand up.
All finished.
Great. I agreed, and I sensed the fear and sadness of the larger dragon in the cell. Let's go see our boy before we go.
Yes, please.
Asta bounded down the small hallway toward the cell with the large dragon in it. Once we got to his cage, I peered in through the window at the top of the door. This time, instead of staying in the dark corner, the dragon stood up and walked over to us. His bright silver eyes regarded us kindly, and now that some light was able to shine through onto him, I could see his whole body was silver as well. That must have been why he'd been kept here so long. Silver dragons were rare, especially ones with silver eyes, too. He was absolutely beautiful, and as soon as he saw us, I felt his energy shift from sadness to hopefulness.
How is he doing in here?
Asta whispered, as she nearly climbed up my side to peer in through the hole. Well, he doesn't like it, of course, I said, and I looked at the boy and smiled. I'm sorry. We can't free you today, either. We can't let the Elf King know we were here. Sadness and understanding flooded over me from the large dragon. He knew we were right, and it was for the greater good of all the dragons. The magnificent creatures were highly intelligent, and certainly not selfish, and I knew he wanted what was best for his kind, not just for him. Do your best to do what they say. They'll hurt you less. He nodded and came closer to the door.
Here.
Cass whispered, and she handed me a loaf of bread, some apples, and a pumpkin, all of which she pulled out of her satchel. Cass, I can't fit a pumpkin through the bars.
Oh, right.
She frowned and took the orange ball back, set it on the floor, chopped it in fours with her greatsword, and then handed it back to me.
Here.
Thank you. I smiled and held the food out to the dragon. He came forward and sniffed a piece of pumpkin, and then he took it from my hand and ate it in just a couple of bites.
Does he like it?
Asta asked as she once again nearly climbed up me to try and see. He does. I agreed, and I held out another piece of pumpkin. Just then, a clanging sound cut through the room, followed by the sound of an elf cursing. We weren't alone anymore.